Hello, this is Yusuf.
And this is Genoa. And this is
InFlight Entertainment. Hey, how's it going, everyone? I hope everyone is doing okay out there in podcast land. And we are about to try to match wits to stay alive in this crazy, twisty movie called Escape Room.
Right. So, Escape Room. It came out just January 4th, 2019. Mm-hmm. And it is about a group of friends or a group of strangers find themselves in a escape room. And it's one of those they're becoming popular where it's sort of it's a room that you have to find all the clues in the room in order to get out within a specific amount of time.
Right.
Well, this movie sort of does that, but it's a twist. And six strangers find themselves in one of these escape rooms. They've all been invited to it.
By some mysterious...
They don't know it's mysterious. They think that they, when a friend or family or coworker or client got them into this event, and if they are able to escape, they get $10,000. So they all sign up and show up the day of escape, the day that they've been assigned to win the money.
Right.
But so, it takes a sinister turn.
Oh, very sinister. So pretty much it starts out, well, the main character, the one that we follow into this story.
Well, there's a cop.
Yeah, but the black girl is kind of like the focal main.
I disagree.
Well, who's the main character?
I would say all of the... you don't really identify her as the main character until you really...
Well,
I would say this, her.
The scene starts off with her.
Yeah, but you also see the other black dude, Jay Ellis or Jason Walker.
Yeah.
Him in his office, like he's an investment banker, douchebag type of person. Uh-huh. Then you see Ben or Logan Miller. And he's at the grocery store and he wants to be upfront with the customers. And his boss is like, we can't put you up there. And you know why. Uh-huh. So you meet three main characters initially. You don't meet the other three people stuck in the room until everyone shows up there. And then you start learning about their characters.
But I just feel more it was more emphasis on her. More so than the other ones before they got into.
I mean, and that they spent two more minutes on her versus Jay and Logan.
No, because we've seen her in classes. We've seen her in the room with her friends. Like, oh, you want to come with us for Thanksgiving? She's like, no, I'm good. It was just more time with her character.
Okay. I will give you that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but you're right. Well, then we've seen the black dude in his office, like, blah, 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 blah. Right. And then that's.
Douchebag investment banker type character.
Exactly. So it felt like it was more investment.
It's all about winning.
Exactly. Yeah. Hence the scare. And so these mysterious cubes get delivered to each of these characters. Right. And they're trying to figure out, like, what the hell is this? It's like a. It's a, literally just a black cube.
It's a cube box.
Yeah. Not to be confused with a Rubik's Cube.
It's a puzzle box.
It's a puzzle box.
That you have to solve the puzzle in order to get to the location to find out the location of the escape room where then you then compete for $10,000.
Exactly. So they find, they solve the box. They go to the location, which is this big kind of industrial.
It's like a 20-floor warehouse industrial building. Mm-hmm. Sort of reminded me of the hotel or the warehouse in New York where Sleep No More, the play, is put on.
Oh.
It's an old industrial building that's been converted into a place that's multi-floor interactive play experience.
Nice.
If you're ever in New York, go do Sleep No More. Drink some. Take some drugs. Go do Sleep No More. It's right. Macbeth. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Macbeth is always a good time, right?
Yeah. Shakespeare.
Yeah, well, there's fun Shakespeare in there, like, Shakespeare. Even though Macbeth is my personal favorite. I like the tragedies of Shakespeare, not necessarily like the light WWE Shakespeare plays. Okay. Yeah. But well, we share. Yeah. Same.
Right.
So now we're introduced to this room. It's like this huge reception.
Right. It looks like a doctor's office.
Exactly. So we have the grocery store clerk, the main character, the black girl, and the investment banker, black dude.
Yeah. All right. And then we're introduced to three more people.
Uh-huh.
It's the nerdy Indian dude that has done all the escape rooms in the city. And he's
like, so psyched.
Oh, my God. So psyched. Like, this is what I live for, is solving escape rooms. And I can't believe we got invited to this.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And then Karen from Daredevil. The woman who plays Karen.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that?
That's why she looked familiar. Yeah. She looks familiar. I know her from something.
Uh-huh.
But she plays a badass ex army chick.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which makes sense.
Yeah. And then there's like an old...
kind of average, kind of...
he's like...
Joe Schmo.
Right, middle-aged dude, fat dude.
Yeah.
Fat white dude.
Yeah, bearded white dude.
Yeah. Which, in the movie, they made him look old, but he's only 40.
Mm.
I guess.
Yeah, I think they, like, scruffed him up pretty good to make him, like, oh, yeah, he's an old dude.
I mean, in his IMDb photo, he looks a lot younger than what he did in the movie.
Of course, they all do. They all do. Yeah, and so now we have our players. We have all our players in this room. You know, they don't really know what's the game?
So, right,
when do we start?
Normally when you're in an escape room, there's either someone that comes over a speaker or someone comes in the room and tells you how long you have to solve the puzzle
uh-huh.
or to escape the room, lets you know what the theme is or you know what the theme yeah. is.
Or they give you the story of it before it happens.
Right. You're in a bunker and...
yeah, zombies are coming.
Right. You have to get out before they break into the room type of thing.
Right.
So
none of this happens.
Right. They think that they're all in the waiting room waiting to go into the escape room. And one of the store clerk wants to go outside to smoke a cigarette. And when he tries to go over to open the door to go outside, the door handle breaks off. Mm-hmm. And they realize that they're locked in the room and the game has started without mm-hmm. anyone right. explaining shit to them.
Right. And so the geeky escape room buff is like, oh, my God.
Yeah, this is so awesome. Oh, my God.
We're in the game, guys. We're in the game. And so everyone else is still kind of like,
what? This is bullshit. Like, yeah, like, someone needs to tell us what we're doing.
Yeah, like we need a hint something. Like, what's happening? And so we see a figure of a lady behind
a doctor's frosted, office. Yeah, like, so there's like, the frosted glass.
Right.
And they keep knocking on it and she keeps saying.
Yeah, someone be with you. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they realize that it's a recording and they find a key to open it.
And it's a doll.
It's a doll.
Like a mannequin. Sorry. It's like a mannequin, you know, right there with a recording of a woman saying, oh, it'll be all
right
too.
Right.
It's like, oh, snap.
And then the phone rings and they pick it up. And the clue on the phone is, so they finally get a clue. Uh-huh. Or some direction from a voice. But it's just a recording. And it says the direction on the phone is to follow all directions or all. Yeah. Follow all directions to the word or something.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, the ceiling turns into a giant heater. Uh-huh. And so they realize that
they're in a big ass oven.
Yeah. They need to get out there.
Right.
Really quickly or be cooked.
Yeah, they'll be cooked pretty much.
So they start taking off their jackets and outer layers of clothing. They keep their pants on.
Yeah, it's not that dire.
Yeah, yeah. And they realize the black girl, the college student,
uh-huh.
she finds a clue that says make sure that you use the coasters. So she realizes that the 6 coasters on the table actually open up a secret door to get out of the room.
Right. But they all must be pressed simultaneously right. at once.
And that's when, did she realize it or the nerdy dude that the water, like if you fill the, oh no, she realized
it. Yeah, she realized it, right.
That if you fill the 6 glasses of water with the water from the water bottle, that you can get all the coasters to push right. down.
But so. Before they had this revelation, it was getting hot. And who took some water? Was it? Black girl gave the
white chick.
Yeah, some water. Yeah. But they needed every ounce of that to have weight for all 6 coasters. So now it's 5 with weight and 1... It's like half full. So right. the clerk, who was like an alcoholic, he used the rest of the booze from his flask to fill up the 6.
Yeah.
And now the door or the entrance to the vent is open and they go through the vent.
Right.
And
they escape the room. But right as they're escaping, right after they escape, the room explodes. So this is at this point in time, some of them are realizing that this is real. it's not fake. It's not all being put on.
I think this is a game.
but the nerdy dude, he's still like, no, it's a game. They would never hurt us. They rigged it so that it would explode right as we're leaving. You know, it's everything's fine.
Yeah. And so they make their way into right. like this log cabin type right. room.
The next area is a log cabin / winter wonderland.
Yes.
And so now they have to escape.
And how did they fit? Wait a minute. I'm trying to figure. Okay, they left the room, like the cabin type.
Well, yeah. So they went from the office into the cabin, and they realized there's 2 door locks on the door.
Right.
And they found the key to the bottom lock, and then they had to find a 7-letter word for the top lock, which was Rudolph. And the store clerk. So Each time we're going through a different room, you're seeing more and more of the backstory of the different characters.
Right.
So in the doctor's office with the heat, you actually see the backstory to the white chick, the white woman, whatever.
Karen. Let's call her Karen.
Right. Her backstory is that she was the lone survivor of an IUD in Iraq or the Middle East somewhere, right. and she has severe burns. So she has a fear of fire and small spaces.
Uh-huh.
So when they move into the cabin, there's all these deer antlers on the wall, and it's Prancer. It's all the names of the Santa Clauses, reindeer. And the store clerk, you see his backstory, and that he was actually in a car accident. He was drinking and driving and hit a deer. He just crashed. But on the radio was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Exactly.
And so the code to open up the top lock to escape the log cabin was Rudolph, really like torturing him in a mental way, saying, mm-hmm. like reminding him that he didn't do enough.
Right, exactly. And so they go outside.
So from there, they go into the winter wonderland.
Right.
And then
they get locked out together. They can't go back right, into
as
the
soon, as soon as everyone exits the log cabin, the door closes and they're locked out of the cabin.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing out in the winter wonderland it's 1 red coat jacket. So remember, in the doctor's office, they took off all their jackets.
Uh-huh.
So now they're in like...
in extreme cold. Now they were in extreme heat. Now they're in extreme cold.
It's 30 degrees in this area. It's snowing. There's a iced over lake river type thing.
Uh-huh.
There's giant stuffed panda bear or no polar bear.
Polar bear and like a wolf.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Like something like that, yeah.
And so they realize that they need to find the door, but they have to figure out where the key is.
Uh-huh.
So in this quote unquote room, the Winter Wonderland, we see the backstory to the douchebag investment banker.
Uh-huh.
And that when he was in college, him and a friend went on a sailing trip. And when they capsized and it was super cold, they only had one coat, and his friend supposedly got hypothermia and jumped in the water thinking that it was warm and beautiful. So, side note on hypothermia, that is actually when you're dying of hypothermia, you think you're warm and you start hallucinating. So on an Outdoor magazine, there's a really great article on the different things that you go through as you're dying of hypothermia.
Yikes. Wow, that's crazy.
Totally recommend reading it. It's fascinating.
Yeah, death usually is, I guess. Okay. All right, so the telltale signs of hypothermia.
Right. Wow.
Were they following the symptoms in the movie?
Oh, like, yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. So there's 6 of them still, and they realize that the key that they need's at the bottom of the lake.
Right, and the big scruffy white dude finds a fishing rod.
Right,
right. And
they drop it in, but it doesn't have a magnet on it to pick up whatever they need at the bottom of the
lake. And the black girl finds the magnet.
Right. The college student finds the magnet in the polar bear's mouth.
Uh-huh.
And so they use a fishing pole and the magnet and pull up the key, but it's frozen in a block of ice.
Yeah.
So the store clerk has a lighter. But he's off smoking his cigarette, and they ask him to throw it over to them so they can melt the block of ice to get the key. And the nerdy dude goes over there to get the lighter, but at that point in time, he falls through the water and drowns. And that point, they really do realize this is a life or death thing.
All right, so we have our first casualty, which is the nerdy escape room buff.
Poor guy.
Yeah, that sucks. I thought it would at least been the third one to go. I know he's going to be the first.
He had to be the first because he was so excited and the only one that had ever done anything like this.
Yeah.
Also, he sucked at it. He wasn't getting any of the clues.
So everybody was fine and stuff with him. Yeah, that's a good point. He was kind of useless.
I mean, his only purpose was that... He was super excited about, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, like I said, plus to give you like 5 minutes of exposition of what escape rooms do.
Right. Okay. So,
thanks. Yeah.
In the movie Cabin in the Woods, he's that.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the expo man. I'll call him expo man. They're just there strictly for exposition.
Right.
Yeah.
To make sure that the audience knows what's going on with the story.
Exactly. And then kill him. Right. It's like, we got enough exposition from you.
Yeah.
Okay. So now everyone is hugging this block of ice to try to melt it, to get to the key that's in the center of this block of ice.
Like, right, that's the only way to melt it.
Yeah, everyone is like shivering, and it was pretty extreme. So they get to it; it melts just enough for them to pry it away from the block of ice. They get to this door.
Yes.
Boom! They go in. All right, so they added a second escape room.
Well, I guess technically it's the third, but it's only the second one that could kill them.
Yes. Because that cabin...
Yeah, the cabin was just sort of a transition room.
Exactly. So, like I said, like the life or death.
Right.
So, this is the second one.
Second life or death.
Yeah. So level two, they clear level two. If this is a video game, they clear level two.
So, now level three is upside down world.
Oh, I love this set. This set is so awesome. It's a bar... that's built upside down.
Right.
So the pool tables and everything's on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And the ceiling fans and stuff is like on the floor.
Right.
Yeah. And like the jukebox and all that stuff is on the ceiling. Right. Yeah. I was like, wow, like whoever did the set design for this particular skate room is brilliant.
Well, and they find out that they're in an elevator because all of a sudden the room actually moves up.
All right.
And they have to solve things before the floor falls out from underneath them.
Yes. Yeah.
Basically.
Piece by piece. It goes from out, like the ends of the room, and it drops inward to the center. You know, so like the floors just drop to you like at the center, and then the center drops and there's no more floor.
Right. So they realize that they need to climb up to where all the things are glued to the ceiling in order to find the key. And Karen, the army woman, she's super strong and the only person that's really seems to have
physical
and, physical and willing to climb up. And dude, she is. She was very strong. She was doing pull-ups and
I didn't know
monkey bar type things.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Daredevil was like training her.
She needs a new partner. Karen.
Exactly.
She's not just a quiet reporter. No,
she could have been kicking ass with Daredevil. Yeah.
He missed out.
Yeah, that was a Matt loss. Oh. Sorry, Matt. Murdoch. Murdoch, not our Matt. Loomis. Sorry. Right. So she gets up there. She's trying to find. She finds
a lockbox.
A lockbox, right? And in the meantime, you know, the black girl is kind of scanning the room, and she sees
the college student.
Yeah, what's her name? I mean, I gotta get her name. I can say it. Oh, the black girl.
Taylor Russell.
What was her name in the movie?
Zoe.
Zoe. Yes. I don't know why they screamed her name like 80 times in the movie. I'm like, yeah, sorry, Zoe, the mayor. Right. So Zoe scans the room and she sees, you know, these record.
It's a sliding puzzle. Type thing.
Yeah, but it's like different record.
Covers.
Yes. There we go. Right. So she's like, wait a minute. There's something there.
They're not all lining up. So she goes over there and slides the record covers around until she finds the code to open up the lockbox.
Right. Yep. So, like, but she don't open it up because they have to look at the numbers on the cue balls, right?
Right. So the sliding puzzle reveals the colors of the cue balls, which then you have to pull the code from the cue balls. Which was 8910. No, 49.
I can't believe you remember that.
10. and then that didn't work, and they realize in their upside down room, so they have to reverse the numbers. So 0194.
Exactly. So they open it up just in time, but Karen is across the room, and all the floor has fallen at this point.
Right. So now she has to get back to everyone else to give them the key.
Exactly. She got to try to Indiana Jones her way, swing across the room.
Which she did a fantastic job.
Awesome job.
And she gets almost all the way across. The key is actually in the eight ball. And so she gets to the eight ball, and then it drops on the last remaining floorboard that's in the center of the room. And she jumps down there, grabs the eight ball, and throws it to the people hanging onto the wall, and they catch it
right before
the floor falls underneath her feet. But she jumps up and grabs the telephone.
Oh, yeah,
but it's not strong enough to hold her, so she says bye and gives up her life to save everyone.
Casualty number two.
Which you kind of knew that her, like the her.
Yeah, she wasn't gonna get through it all.
I mean, she. Also,
she was too tough.
There was no like early introduction to her character and the nerdy guy and the old white dude until you meet them in the doctor's office. Right. So of course, like those three are going to be the first people that die.
See, but I thought they were going to subvert that, but I guess they didn't. Right.
I mean, basically, this movie was Final Destination. In that all of these people were the lone survivors to horrible accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And this company has figured out a way to take them out by using an escape room.
Right.
So exactly. this is getting rid of the sole survivor of bad.
Oh, yeah. So pretty much think of, what's his name? David Dunn character in Unbreakable. Because he was the sole survivor of train. Right. Like,
Bruce Willis's character would be in the escape room. From Unbreakable would be in the escape room.
Because he was the sole survivor of the train tragedy. Yeah. Even though, and I would have liked that ending more in the escape room if David Dunn character was in this than Glass. But whatever. Listen to Glass. I don't want to get into it. So now casualty number two, and then there were three? No, four.
So now there's four left, right? So you have you have Zoe, the college student, the douchebag investment banker, the old white dude, and then the store clerk.
Right.
So now they've escaped the upside down world, and then they move into...
Oh, was it like the operating?
It's a like a hospital type center or emergency room.
Yeah, exactly.
And basically, each of the emergency rooms or each room is dedicated to a different character, and how they ended up being the sole survivor of their experience.
Right. This is where we start to get a little bit of insight to this deadly game that they're caught up in.
Right. Yeah, so they find out that Karen, her character, was IUD, the only survivor. They find out the nerdy dude, he was the only survivor from his family from carbon monoxide poisoning. And then the four remaining people talk about what they survived. So Zoe, the college student, her and her mom were hiking and a plane crashed. She was left in the woods for a couple days until rescuers came and found them. A plane crashed into them as they were hiking, which is ridiculous. Then we already heard what happened to the store clerk, that he was DWI. And we already found out about the investment banker, that he was on a upside down sailing trip. And then the old white dude, he was in a mining accident, and he couldn't see his brother, but he heard his brother dying next to him, and he was the only person that survived the mining accident. Right. So finally, the voice of the escape room master comes on the overhead and says that you have X amount of time to escape here.
It's like 5 minute countdowns on the screen,
or you're all going to be poisoned or killed or something.
Gas.
Right. and then they look at all of their x-rays and realize that EKG is spelled out in the x-rays, and that they think that they have to speed up their heart to get really fast, but actually in order to escape the room they have to go really, really slow.
Right.
But while all this is going on, Zoe is like freaking out. She's realized that they have cameras here, they're fucking watching us. If they can't watch us, then they don't know what we're doing, and they can't kill us. So she goes around, starts smashing anything like with a video screen, and they're like, Zoe, you need to come help us. She's like, fuck that. This is a PG-13 movie, so she doesn't say fuck that, but you get the point. Meanwhile, old dude and investment banker are trying to see whose heartbeats are faster. And the old fat white dude, of course, he has a bad heart. He's going to have a faster heartbeat.
Right.
And they keep trying to get his heartbeat up by shocking him with the electric paddles.
Defibrillator?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's it. The defib.
The defibs, yes.
Yeah. And the investment banker ends up killing him.
Right.
And then the store clerk has been trying to calm down Zoe this entire time. Zoe, come back to us. And he sees that the investment banker killed the white dude. And then he's like, you can't do that. You can't kill. We're here. We all need to survive together. And meanwhile, the investment banker realizes that he actually needs to slow his heart down, not speed it up.
Right.
So he goes over there and meditates, and he drops it down to, I think it was only 60 or 70.
Yeah, something like that.
It wasn't that low, but I guess if you're stressed, it was very low.
Yeah.
meanwhile, they hit at this point, the 5 minutes have run out. So the room starts filling with gas, and investment banker slows his heart down so that he opens up the door. He runs through the door. Store clerk tries to get Zoe to come, but she's like, no.
Right,
I'm staying because I need to break up all of these cameras. We will revisit that, people. No big surprise there, because she's our main character.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so the investment banker and the clerk gets away.
Now they're in like a, I would say Alice in Wonderland type of room.
Yeah, it's like a crazy Tim Burton set.
Yes.
Yeah. Think of that Beetlejuice. Think of a Beetlejuice
set. On acid.
On acid. Yeah. And it literally was on acid because they were drugs.
Right. Yeah. They gave them some sort of poison that makes them hallucinate slash also will kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one antidote in the room and they need to find it and go through the portal in order to quote unquote win.
So they get into a tussle. They're fighting.
So, but during all of this, you keep hearing the investment banker guy. He's like, it's survival of the fittest. It's, you know, you do everything you can to be the person that lives, that survives, which you realize that he probably killed his friend on the boat, that his friend didn't go off and have hypothermia. He drowned him.
Yeah.
To get the jacket and to survive.
Exactly. That we found out in the flash. Right. It was a flashback of a true event that happened back then. Yeah.
Hence the reason why douchebag investment banker.
And just keeping the rep up, I guess. So they're tussling, trying to get the antidote.
No offense to all the investment bankers out there. I know you're not all douchebags, it's like Gordon Gekko type person.
Yeah, it was the Gordon Geckos that, you know, gives you guys a bad name.
and this guy.
And this guy. And while that's happening, we cut back to the room where Zoe is. So the gas is released.
Right.
You know, she's like trying to...
The people that are now running the game come in to, they think, dispose of the two dead bodies.
Because they come in with their hazmat suits to have like their masks.
They're all safe from the gas that was released in the room.
Right. Wait a minute. Okay, let me ask you. So how did Zoe... Did she like...
There was an oxygen mask
in
there.
Yes. So it was oxygen mask, yes. Yeah. So they thought she was dead.
It's a hospital room. Oxygen mask. But they can't see what she's doing because she smashed all the cameras. Right,
exactly.
So...
Clever gal.
Suckers.
Clever girl.
Uh-huh.
So she pretends like she's dead. The two, you know, figures in the hazmat suit walking around like, oh, okay. She gets up behind them. Would she grab a pole or...
She grabs an IV drip pole. But it's funny because they have their backs to her and they look at the gas mask and they say something like, what did she think she was going to do with the gas mask? And then she jumps up with the IV pole and like smacks him on the back of the head and she's like, breathe. Or survive.
One of the two. Yeah, one of those one-liners.
Yeah, so she escapes the bad people.
Yeah, so she escapes. Boom, she's out. At the same time, the store clerk gets the...
Antidote.
Kills the douchebag investor.
Douchebag, yeah.
All right, and he gets out of the room. All right, now, okay, let me rewind this back. The very... start of this film, we see the clerk drops into this room. Look like this, like a study.
Hello? Okay, yep.
We see the clerk drops into this room like a study. It's like this like old like kind of, you know, study. So we back to that scene.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, scrambling, trying to find, because he already know, like, I need to like figure out how to get out of here. And so think of in Star Wars when Han, Leia, and Luke drops down into the trash compactor. This is kind of like the room, except it's a study. And so, like, the walls are, like, closing in to smush him. And he's trying to, like, figure out how to stop it. While that's happening.
He hides in the fireplace, basically.
Yes. And while that's happening, Zoe come across the Game Master? Or one of the Game Masters?
Oh, I missed that scene.
Yeah, because he kind of like do the whole monologue of like why they're...
No, it's not her. He escapes the fireplace and he gets into the room and the Game Master's in there.
Right.
And the Game Master's like, blah, blah, blah. All of you guys were the lone survivors. Mm-hmm. We're here to correct things.
Right. Like there's no winnings. Yeah. You know, all y'all gonna die.
Right. And then he creeps behind him and he does a garrote. around Shop Guy's neck. Mm-hmm. And as he's trying to choke him out, Zoe comes up behind and shoots him in the back. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't die.
Yeah. That guy does not die. Yeah. So they run out. They escape.
Well, so yeah. So Shop Guy is unconscious. Game Keeper tackles Zoe and they try fighting for the gun. And then Shop Clerk hits him over the head, grabs the gun, and then shoots him twice in the chest. So mm-hmm. Zoe and the clerk are now the lone survivors. They think that they've killed the people that run the game, mm-hmm. Escape the building, and then call the police and go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Clerk is being treated by the hospital, and Zoe goes back with the police to the
scene of, yeah,
to show them where everything happened. And when they get there, everything has removed, and the only thing that says on the wall is there's no way out. Yeah,
right. Yeah. And so actually, you know what, I thought they were gonna like smash the black after that, because that, to me, the movie should have ended right there, because that was a cool kind of Twilight Zone type, and she's yelling like no. Right. I was like, it should have just like went off.
So yes, that is a good place to end if you don't want to make more money and make a second movie. So
yeah.
They did a final scene. Six months later.
Later, yeah.
Zoe has been doing research on how they're covering up
the deaths
of all the other characters.
Yeah, because in a paper was like the military girl. They say she like
she went rock climbing by herself and fell. Mm-hmm. The investment banker was doing drugs and on his motorcycle and crashed.
Yeah. So pretty much all this fake.
Right.
You know, articles to just write the deaths off like, oh, it was just an accident.
All of a sudden, it starts feeling like the TV show Lost. Mm-hmm. Where you have like the powers that be controlling shit. So now we go into the we jump to an airplane scene, mm-hmm. where they're trying to get into the cockpit and they have to solve a puzzle and whatever. Mm-hmm. But you realize it's a test center to test future escape rooms of how they're going to get back at Zoe and the clerk to take them.
Yeah,
back.
So this is like the headquarters of the evil masterminds, and they're testing these escape rooms. So they're testing this airplane cockpit scenario for Zoe and the clerk. And it's all so like James Bondish. So the guy said, "Oh yeah, you know, it's looking good so far. Yada yada yada." And we see a shot of this man in the dark, and it's like a blue light behind him. But you see this like dark figure, and you hear a voice, and he's like, "Oh, this, you know, kind of like a boo-ha-ha, like we'll be ready for them kind of situation." And then it goes off. So this reminded me of like the intentions or like the evil masterminds or the whatever. It reminded me of Hostel, and where rich, like the wealthy is, you know, of course, like just doing these like death games, like, you know, at the expense of the regular average everyday Joe, to get their rocks off type thing.
And they kind of suggest that at one point.
We
keep creating experiences for the wealthy people.
Exactly.
They keep asking us to push it further, and this is where we're at.
Exactly. Yeah. I told them Hostel totally popped in my head with that. Well, as soon as he said it, I'm like, oh, this is Hostel.
Right.
I mean, except it's escape room.
Final Destination popped into my head that it's the universe correcting itself that all these people should have died.
Yeah, but the twist is, it was the universe. It was staged by these wealthy people. That's like the Hostel comes in. I'm like, oh, okay.
I haven't seen Hostel, so.
Oh, really?
bloody.
I mean,
it just seems like a movie to.
It is torture porn. Yes, it is. I mean, but the premise is, I haven't really seen a premise like that. I mean, it was a unique premise. I mean, it's always with horror movies, like the first like 30 minutes. So it's all set up. It's all like, then after that, that's when the craziness.
And I like horror movies, but I don't need torture porn.
Yeah.
That's just whatever.
Yeah. I understand. But I thought you would have seen it. You being the horror, like the one that loves the horror flicks. So, I mean, it was cool. But like I said, the plot was definitely hostile.
Right.
It was.
So they set it up for a second one in 2020. There will be a second one. It's already in production.
Wow. Actually, I think it didn't do bad either. I believe globally it grossed, I think, over 150. We're talking globally, but and we're like 40. No. We're like 50, 60 domestic.
It made opening weekend. It made 18 million and worldwide. It made 55 million.
That's it. I thought across 100.
Not yet. Huh. But it only costs 9 million to make. So they've already, just for US opening weekend, it doubled their budget.
Oh yeah, totally. I'm just curious how they're gonna do the second one.
I'm gonna start with the airplane.
I don't know, we'll see. I mean, it was a good self-contained movie that, like, okay, I'm fine with.
Well, it's different. It's Escape Room 2. It's different.
Electric Boogaloo.
It has different actors in it. There's something called Escape Room The Lone Survivors also. So there's also an Escape Room 2017 an Escape Room movie that came out in 2017 with Skeet Ulrich.
Skeet Ulrich?
Yeah. And Sean Young in it. No relation to this movie, but I thought they were related until you told me they weren't. No. I was like, well, I can't watch this one until I watch the first one.
I'm like, no, just watch the new one.
So make sure you watch the 2019 one. This is a good movie. It's a good airplane movie. It's easy to follow.
Totally. It's just going in different rooms and surviving.
Not a whole lot of deep dialogue. So if you miss anything, I mean, you maybe want to know about their backstories, but it's fine.
Yeah, they're gonna die. Whatever. Yeah. I give it. I thought it was solid. I thought it was really solid.
It's not. It's not scary. It has a nice pace to it. So it keeps you engaged and involved in it. Mm-hmm. Nothing's jumping out at you. There's no real blood or gore in it. I would say, like, any of the police dramas on TV probably have more blood and gore in them.
And plus, the suspense, kept you in, the situations, the life or death in the, like, situation you were seeing with the characters, kept you in the movie. It didn't, nothing really pulled you out because it was tightly edited, because when they get out of a room, boom, then something else. It wasn't a lot of downtime between the rooms, which I really like.
Oh, and it also reminds me of the game.
Michael Douglas.
With Michael Douglas, yeah.
Hell yeah. CRT, Consumer Recreation. No, CRS, Consumer Recreation Services.
Sure.
I love that movie. That's going to be another throwback. Yeah, David Fincher can do no wrong in my ass. I'm gonna give it a little bit of turbulence. Only because, and that's just a slight turbulence. Only because the build up to the revelation of what was really going on could have been a little more clever. But it was kind of like a, because the movie was like doing other stuff that was really good. It's just like it kind of fell into like this. Oh, it's the wealthy. And that's it. I don't know. But
I think you're expecting too much from it.
Because I was really entertained, because this is different. This is cool. But then it's like, oh, it's rich folks. Yeah.
Okay. Who did you want it to be?
Okay. I thought it was going to be maybe someone that was connected with all of them in a certain way. Because think about it. How did they get all of the surveillance of the... Okay, this is too personal. The Rudolph thing. Someone had to be in a car to know that in that situation... They played Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Or when he got to the hospital, he said Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was playing.
But why would he say that? So they
saw it in his... Or he went to a therapist and sent his therapy records.
That's what I was thinking. I thought it would have been like a shrink that was like dealing with all of them. Like all at once. Like okay. A Dr. Doom diabolical type character.
Still a wealthy person. Could still be someone part of the Illuminati. Yeah. Their therapists are all involved in it.
Yeah, because then that would make it more like sadistic. If it was just like one person,
the government listening in on everyone's cell phones on what's happening.
Yeah, what else is new? You know, I just wanted something different. Whoa, the wealthy, the government.
It's the Twilight Zone.
Exactly.
Theory is that it's actually fate. And fate is coming back, and fate is the dark figure on the TV screen manipulating everyone through real people.
No fate but what we make. Have we not learned from Sarah Connor? Anyway, so, all right, that's what we got of Escape Room. I enjoyed it. I thought it was solid. I dug it. Yeah.
I actually didn't even know that this came out this year until you mentioned it, so I missed the trailer for this.
That was fine. Pretty much the trailer was the movie.
Right, yes, right.
So you're good.
But if you guys have any movies that are coming out this year that you would like us to review, shoot us an email at inflightentertainment2018@gmail.com and we will add those to our list.
Yeah, definitely. And we would like to thank all of our listeners, our new listeners, the listeners that have been with us from day one. We appreciate all of you. And yeah, and like I said, any comments, questions, requests.
Yeah, and we're now on Spotify, so you can, or not Spotify, Stitcher, that you can now listen to us on there, as well as on iTunes and
Google Play.
Google Play, thank you. So make sure you subscribe, rate, review, and share with a friend.
Yes, definitely. Cool. So that's Escape Room. Check it out. Let us know what you think. If you already seen it, let us know what you think. All that good stuff. And if you have any conflicting thoughts about our review, just let us know. We love to hear.
It'll probably be on the airplanes in another 3 months or so. So
maybe less than that.
Well, yeah.
Because, yeah, maybe. It's January. Yeah, it's probably on planes now.
Well, I will let you know.
Okay. Oh, yes. Our person in the air are going to give us the lowdown. Cool. All right, guys. So enjoy your week. And again, we wish you safe travels and
peace.